can. That's good. What a great day to be alive in scenic Batesville, Arkansas. Amen. Man, I'm just excited, you know, about life and what God's doing. I think so many times we, you know, watch the news and see all of the junk that goes on in this world. You know, you get on Facebook and see all the stuff, and you know, you got Ferguson going on, and you've got all of this stuff, and it's easy to get down about life and just like, where's our world going to? And I think lots of times we focus on the wrong stuff because, you know, there's people, thousands and thousands of people all over the world getting saved every single day. And that's a good thing. Right? Okay, just making sure. That's a good thing. And instead of getting down about all the stuff going on, you know, we need to be looking at what God's doing. And God's kingdom is going forward and it's taking ground. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. And we need to be excited about that. Right? Okay, just making sure. It's a great day. That's all I'm trying to say. It's a great day. All right, we're going to conclude our series today called Healthy Church. And we've talked about lots of different things during this series. You know, we talked about what healthy looks like. Healthy doesn't equal perfect. You're never going to attend a healthy church. A perfect church. I'm sorry. Whew. A perfect church. Hopefully you're in a healthy church right now. But you're never going to attend a perfect church. The only perfect church that's ever going to be is when we get to heaven and we have the big celebration when everybody arrives in heaven. That's going to be the perfect church. But we're still a ways away from that, I guess. And so, you know, we want to build a healthy church. You know, healthy doesn't equal perfect. But we've talked about what this looks like to have a healthy church. First of all, we said a church is not a building. It's not an organization. The church was established over 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not conquer it. And it's still going today strong. And you know, that is being fulfilled, that the gates of hell will never conquer the church. And again, he wasn't talking about a building. He wasn't talking about an organization. He was talking about a body of believers that are trusting in Jesus Christ and are making his name known. That is what the church is. And, you know, we said a healthy church has healthy people. You know, the people are the church, and so in order for the church to be healthy, the people need to be healthy. They need to be growing in Christ. They need to be getting closer to God. They need to be striving to show the love and the compassion of Christ. We said a healthy church, they know they have healthy roles. They know the roles within the church that the leadership is there to equip and to encourage the people to do the work of the ministry. And we said that everybody's called to ministry. And that scared everybody. Because ministry, like, I can't do ministry. What are you talking about? When ministry is actually, that word means to wait tables or to serve people. See, we're all called to serve people for the glory of God. And that'll look different in each person's life. We're not all called to stand on a stage and preach. And y'all say, thank God. You know, you are called into the ministry to use your gifts and talents to glorify God in your area to serve people. And that's what ministry is. And we're all called to ministry. And church needs to be a place where we come and get equipped and encouraged to go serve people for the glory of God. We said a healthy church has healthy participation. Everybody has a part to play. We are the body of Christ. And when the body is all functioning, all doing their part, then the body is healthy. Okay, and so in order for our church to be healthy, we need everybody participating. We need everybody doing what God's called them to do in order to make everything happen. And so that's what we've talked about the past several weeks. If you missed any of those, we have them all on our website, believerscommunity.org. They're on our podcast. You can go check those out. If you don't have internet or anything like that, you can get a free CD of any of our services. Go to the Welcome Center, and there's a slip of paper up there that says CD request. Fill that out, hand it back to them, and we will make those for you as well. All right, so today, to conclude this, we're going to talk about a healthy church has unity. A healthy church has unity. And we see in Mark chapter 3, Jesus said, "If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." And unfortunately, in the church world today, we don't see a lot of unity. Whether it's in a local church or in the body of Christ as a whole, as far as in between churches, we don't see a lot of unity going on. And this describes the American church. It's a house divided against itself. And we wonder why the church struggles so much. It's because we're missing the unity. We're missing that quality to where we're all on the same page, working together for one purpose. See, unity is oneness. It's working together. It's harmony. It's being on the same team. It's striving for the same vision. See, we've got to have unity in the church for it to do what is properly supposed to do, what Jesus set it out to do. See, in Ephesians chapter 4, which is where our series has been based out of, we see what unity looks like. Ephesians 4, 2. It says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other." This is a tough one. "Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Just as we've all been called to this one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all, who is in all, and living through all." This is the picture of unity right here. One thing about we look at God, and this is a mystery to my mind. I don't quite understand how the Trinity works, Father, Son, and Spirit, but there's unity within that. It all works together perfectly to fulfill one purpose. And that's what it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, is that we're all working together for one purpose. And see, this goes against our natural inclinations. It goes against everything that is on the inside of us because, you know, our human nature, it's selfish. It's fault-finding. It's drama. It's judging. We naturally just separate. You know, we separate ourselves into groups, and that's our natural inclination, is to be that way. And so unity isn't something that is naturally built on the inside of us. But unity, like we said in Ephesians chapter 4, it's humble. It's gentle, patient, making allowance for each other's faults. See, it's much easier to judge someone for their faults than to make allowances for other people, isn't it? See, we want other people to do that for us, but are we willing to do that for other people? Jesus said it this way in John 13. He said, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." See, as we look at the body of Christ today, how much unity, how much love do we see amongst the church? You know, I think we do pretty good here in unity and loving each other and showing the love of Christ. And I believe that we're making good strides in that area. But how are you with that on a daily basis in your own life? How good are we at that when we're at work and someone disagrees with us, maybe on a spiritual theology or a doctrine or something like that? And how are you going to react to that? Are you going to react in unity and in love? Or are you going to prove them wrong? See, naturally we're selfish and we're fault-finding and we're combative. See, we're called to love each other. Now, I know there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be differences. You know, you get two people in a room for more than 5 minutes, you're going to come up with some differences and some disagreements. That's natural. That's going to happen. No two people believe exactly alike, have the same opinions and have the same ideologies. You know, conflict is going to happen. But how you handle that is the issue. Are you going to do that with love? Or are you going to attack and prove yourself and be selfish? So how do we as a church achieve unity? Let me ask you a question this way. Are we being led by the Spirit, or are we being led by our flesh? This will determine if we are in unity or not. See, naturally, we live by the flesh. You know, we're selfish. You know, that's just natural in who we are. It's our human nature. But if we want to have unity, we got to learn to be led by the Spirit. Now, some of you are thinking, that makes no sense to me. I don't understand that. Well, let me read to you in Galatians chapter 5. It describes what it looks like to be led by the flesh and be led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. And here's the part we're talking about here within unity of the church. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, what kind of church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of the hostility, the quarreling, the jealousy, the outbursts of anger, the selfishness? Or do you want to be a part of the church that's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness? We all want to be a part of the loving church, the accepting church. We want to be a part of that. So how do we get there? What do we have to do to get to that point? Our natural inclination is selfishness, flesh. But see, it's going to take time and it's going to take discipline in our lives to be led by the Spirit of God. And what we're seeing here in the fruit of the Spirit, it says this is the kind of fruit that your life produces from the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't just a switch that you flip on one day and all of a sudden, hey, there's joy and love and peace and joy and all of this coming out of my life. I wish it was that easy. I wish we could pray a prayer and all of a sudden we're loving and we're full of joy and peace. And there's a part of that comes with salvation because the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And so He brings those things into your life. But like any fruit, it's got to be cultivated. It's got to be tended to. It's got to grow. You got to work on it. And it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. If we want to be led by the Spirit, if we want this fruit in our life, then we got to cultivate it. We've got to grow it. We've got to do some things that takes time and discipline to produce. We've got to be spending time in God's Word. I mean, if there is any one message that I talk about more, one idea, it's we got to be in God's Word. We got to spend time in worship. And you got to be praying. You got to spend time with God in prayer. If you can master those three things in your life, you're well above and beyond most Christians. Because that's where growth is going to come. By spending time with God and His Word. And worshiping Him. That's where it comes from. And what's usually the first thing that goes in our busy day? The thing that makes us grow the most. I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else. You know, I have my routine that I like to do. You know, I get up in the morning, I take a shower, I'll eat breakfast, and I'll read my Bible, and I'll pray. And, you know, then I'll get ready and go to work. And if anything messes that up, you know what goes away? That reading and that prayer time. And it shouldn't be that way, but it takes discipline. It takes time to develop these things in your life to be able to do that. And if we want unity in our church, if we want to be that church of love and joy, peace and goodness and kindness, that's what it's going to take. See, we want unity in our church, in Believers Community Church. We want unity. So what is that going to take? See, this whole series has been based on becoming healthy as a church. And we brought it down to the personal level every time because you are the church. We as a group of people are the church. You know, the church is not pastor. He's a part of the church just like you're part of the church. It takes all of us doing it. And so what does it look like to make this church healthy? Each person has to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Each person, every single person. If we truly want unity, each person needs to have that growing relationship with Him. One thing that I've learned, that if I'm working on me, and I've got a lot of work to do. I don't know about you, but I've got some messed up spots in my life that I really got to work through. And if I'm working on me, then I don't have time to judge you. I don't have time to point out things that's going wrong in your life because I'm too busy working on me. And see, unfortunately, in most churches, it's the opposite way. We spend so much time judging other people that we don't have time to work on us. And see, true unity comes from us working on me, working on me, and you working on you. And we can help each other out. We can pray with each other. We can encourage each other. You know, but if I sit back on the back row and think, I know what he was doing this weekend. You know, he's hungover. Look at him. And sitting back and judging people, what good does that do? It destroys the unity. Each person needs a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Each person has got to know and begin to do their part in the body of Christ. We've got to know and do our own part in the body of Christ. See, we all have a part to play. Every single one of us. You know, God didn't call you this church just to hang out. Yeah, we need to sit. We've got to learn. We've got to grow. But step up and do something too. God's given you gifts and talents and passions in your life. And He wants you to use those for His glory. Some of those will happen inside the four walls of this church. Some of it will happen out there. But until you step up and do something, you're going to be stagnant. You're not going to grow. The church is not going to grow. It takes us all doing our part for us to be functioning properly. See, when we all know and do our part, we're not going to have power struggles. We're not going to have people trying to take control of things. Because you know your part. You know what you're called to do. Yeah, there's people that's called to be in charge of some things. And there's people that are called to be a part of things, to make things happen. And see, when we know our part, we're not going to be struggling for power. We're not going to be trying to control everything. See, one thing that I've learned in my life, that I can't grow plants. Just can't do it. When we moved into our house, we planted a tree and about 5 bushes. I have a tree and a bush now. Okay, I just can't grow stuff. When I try to take control over stuff, and I kill it. I mean, that's just what happens. And so I'm not called to control stuff. I'm called to serve. And as I find my part and I serve in my part, all of a sudden God grows where we're serving. It's called unity. What does unity look like inside the church? It's submitting, every person submitting to the vision. It's every person submitting to the vision. See, we need to have one vision. We need to have one purpose. We need to be one body, all striving for one thing. And Jesus set the vision before he left the earth. He said, go and make disciples. That's the vision of the church. That's the vision of what Christ set up. And we need to all be a part of that vision of go and make disciples. Whatever that looks like in your life. Whatever that looks like in your gifts and your talents and your passions. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But see, as everybody in the church is submitting to the vision, then the vision will be accomplished. One person can't carry the vision. One person can't push the vision and make it happen. It takes every single person to get the vision and to go for it. And let me say this. If you're in a place that you can't submit to the vision to, go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? If there's just something in you that cannot submit to a vision of the place that you're at, then go to a place where you can. Because you're destroying the unity by staying in a place where you can't submit. Oh, he's talking about submitting. Whew. That's not a popular word anymore, is it? But see, it all takes us doing our part. What did we say? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. So we want unity inside of the church. And one of my prayers is that we see unity among the churches as well. I'm sick and tired of hearing and seeing churches fight with other churches. It just breaks my heart to see two Christians fighting over some random belief. You know, I don't really care how you take communion. I don't really care how you baptize. If you want to fully immerse or if you want to sprinkle, I don't care. I don't care how you pray. I don't care if you believe in everybody praying all at once, all at the same time, or if it's just one person praying at a time. I really don't care. Those are preferences. Those are things that are not important in salvation. See, we need to learn to find those things that we agree on and center around those things when it comes to unity amongst the churches. Because we know we're going to disagree on some stuff. And that's fine. I understand that. Not every church is going to believe the same thing. And so, you know, one thing that I found out in life that I'm wrong sometimes. My wife tells me that all the time. I'm wrong sometimes. And so for me to have the pride to think that all of my theology is 100% correct is ridiculous. Now, I really hope that I'm right. I mean, I've studied and I've got scripture and I can prove what I believe. But I have this weird feeling on the inside of me that I might be wrong on something. And so for me to stand up and fight and argue over some random belief that I have is ridiculous to me. See, my strive is unity. My strive is to find common ground with whoever I'm talking to and to base our relationship on that, not on based on what we disagree with. See, as youth pastors here in the Batesville area, we get together on a regular basis. Thursdays at Morningside Coffee. That's where Jesus is on Thursday mornings, is at Morningside Coffee. And so that's why we meet there. Jesus and coffee are there, so we're there. And so, but I love it because we're able to meet together from across denominations and have mutual respect for each other and to be able to talk, to have fellowship, encourage and pray for each other. And not have that weird, like, I know you pray in tongues. Stay away from me. You know, there's none of that stuff. It's called unity. And I love that we're able to get together and have that fellowship. And have that communion. And that community. to where that we come together knowing that we're going to work together to win the teenagers of this area to Jesus Christ. That's our strive. That's our goal. We're able to do events together. We're able to encourage each other. There's times that I've sent some kids to other youth ministries because, they didn't quite fit here and they would fit in that one. And I love it when people go to First Baptist. I love it when they go to the Pentecostal church and the Assembly church and the Methodist church. I love it. Because we're on the same team. We're all doing the same thing. Now, we might teach a little bit different. We have some different doctrine. But you know what? If that person is saved and they have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and they're telling other people about Jesus, I'm good. See, these things shouldn't be that big a deal. We like to divide. We like to make our group be exclusive. See, we're all part of the same team. We need to have the one vision. I mean, it's no wonder people don't want to be Christians these days, because you look across the American church and you see division, you see hatred, you see fighting, and that's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. And I don't want to go there either. I want to go to a church that has the fruit of the Spirit flowing in it and working in it. See, we need to quit fighting over doctrine. We need to quit fighting over all of this stuff that, you know, you're not going to change my mind on my doctrine. I'm not going to change your mind. So let's not talk about it. We can discuss it. That's fine. But I'm not going to argue with you about it. We need to unite and agree on Jesus, the cross, salvation, and winning this world to Christ. See, we got to learn to work together for the sake of the kingdom of God and quit worrying who gets the credit. I don't care if Believers Community Church gets the credit for the things that we do in this community. As long as Jesus Christ gets the glory for it. Amen. That's what matters. Amen. See, we got to learn to love and support each other as churches. You know, I've heard so many crazy stories about things that happen because of, you know, they go to a different church or they don't do this. And you know, we've got to learn the importance of unity in the body of Christ. Like Jesus said, everybody will know you're that my disciples because you love each other. Not because you have the best argument of why, you know, you're going before the tribulation instead of after. Some of y'all, that went right over your head, but that's okay. See, we all want unity in the church. We all do. We want the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. When people walk in this door, I hope they feel love. I hope they feel acceptance. I hope they feel like they just came home. Because that's what the church should be. And I wish I could speak to the 2.4 billion Christians out there about unity in the body of Christ. But I can't. But I can talk to you guys. And we can do something about what we're doing in this church. And I believe with all my heart that we can be a unified body, working towards one purpose and one goal. See, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 tells us what it's going to take. It says, those who believe in Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. See, if we want to have unity in this body, if we want to have unity across the churches in this community, we've got to nail those passions and those desires coming from our selfish nature to the cross and let them die. Because let me tell you something, it's not about Believers Community Church. I love this church. I love what this church does. I love you guys. But it's not about Believers Community Church. It's about Jesus Christ. And if we can glorify God and we can be and if we can follow the Spirit, be led by Him, then unity will abound. But you know what? It takes every single one of us striving for that. If there's five people striving for it, we're not going to have unity. But if we can all let the selfishness die on the inside of us and strive for the goal of seeing Christ's name be known and people come to know Him as Jesus, as Lord and Savior, then we're doing what we're called to do. And that's where we need to strive. Amen. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come up. Father, thank You so much. God, that You created the church, that You established the church. Father, and we know that as long as we are doing what You've called us to do, the gates of hell will never prevail over it. Father, I just thank You for this church, God, and what You've done in here. God, I just pray for unity. God, I pray for each and every person to get a vision of what You called them to do. God, and to use that for Your glory. Father, I just pray, God, that we can be an example, a light of what unity should look like. Father, I just pray for the church as a whole. God, that You're the only one that can influence the church as a whole, God. And I just pray that, God, that Your influence fall over. And just a spirit of unity, a spirit of togetherness would just flow through. God, that we put aside our denomination, we put aside our differences, God, and work for the goal that You've placed us here for. God, we love You so much. In Jesus' name, if you need prayer for any reason,